Tonight, the third Democratic presidential debate will take place in Houston, Texas. 10 candidates qualified. Elizabeth Warren comes to Houston ascending in popularity, but Joe Biden still leads in polling. The two will share a stage tonight for the first time. The third frontrunner, Bernie Sanders, will be there as well. NPR political correspondent Asma Khalid is in Houston. Asma, what will you be looking for?
You hit the nail on the head right there. I mean, this is the first time that Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren and former Vice President Joe Biden will be on the same debate stage. And that dynamic will be fascinating to watch. You know, the two of them have had a long history. They have clashed before on bankruptcy legislation. And even in this campaign, they're both fundamentally running different styles of campaign. Elizabeth Warren talks often on the stump about the need for big structural change. And Joe Biden has sort of talked a lot more about the need for a continuation of the Obama administration's legacy. I get the hunch that there will not necessarily be direct attacks on Joe Biden from Elizabeth Warren because she knows that that did not necessarily bode well for some of the candidates who did hit Joe Biden more directly in the previous debates.
Well, and I'm remembering in a previous debate, she was standing right next to Bernie Sanders. They share a lot of the same thinking, and it was almost as if they, you know, went back to back together as a team, you know, taking on the other candidates. It'll be interesting to see what happens here. Also on the stage, Senators Cory Booker of New Jersey and Kamala Harris of California, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, Bernie Sanders, South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Obama Housing Secretary Julian Castro, former Representative Beto O'Rourke of Texas, and tech investor Andrew Yang. And that's all the time we have for our segment. The point is that there's a lot of people still on the stage. What are you looking for any of them?
You know, when you talk to campaigns, some of them have made this point that it's still a really congested debate stage. It's going to be crowded. The actual number of candidates is still on par with what we had in the first two debates. And so some of them are trying to downplay expectations, saying like, look, you know, we just sort of have to grin and bear it, get through this, but we don't anticipate that it's going to lead to sort of a huge bump in momentum for anybody. You know, one campaign told me something I think rather interesting. They actually think that in some ways the debates have become somewhat more of a liability. They say, you know, some candidates have actually seen their prospects dim after having a really viral moment in a debate, and they'll point to someone like California Senator Kamala Harris, who in the first debate clashed directly with Joe Biden on the issue of busing. She got an immediate bump, but then over time, we haven't seen her fortunes rise in the polls. Mm-hmm. And anecdotally, when I've gone out and talked to African-American voters, I did hear from some folks who felt like they did not appreciate what Kamala Harris did in that debate, and in some cases, they had been considering both her and Biden, and then leaned more toward Biden as a result of what they saw between the two of them in that debate.
So a cautionary note. I mentioned the ceasefire between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren in other debates. Do you think he's been slipping a little in the polls while she's been surging? According to some NPR reporting, more Democrats say they like her than any other candidate, although when they're actually polled, Biden still continues to lead in almost all of the polls. Do you think that their ceasefire, though, may end tonight if he really needs to get ahead?
I don't think so. I spoke with Sanders' campaign manager the other day, and, you know, he made it clear that they don't find it effective to attack an ally who is on the same page as them around public policy. Yeah. That being said, you know, they do want to make some differentiations between themselves and Warren. And so, you know, even to us on the phone, he made the point that Sanders has run this grassroots focused campaign for a long time. And they feel like that makes him unique, that he's been saying very consistently the same message for years.
Yeah. Overall, the split tonight seems to be between Biden, the more moderate, seen by many progressives as just not wanting to do enough in this moment, seen by his supporters as just the person to maybe woo some former Trump supporters in 2020. How much do you think we'll see that split tonight? Will some progressives maybe listen to what others have been saying, others within the party saying it's too soon to go as far as, let's say, Medicare for All?
I think the major argument that a lot of candidates are going to be trying to make on stage is around this notion of electability. When you look at why voters often support Joe Biden, it will come down to the idea that they want a candidate who will beat Donald Trump. Now, the Biden campaign disagrees with this being sort of the main reason folks are supporting the former vice president. But I think that we'll likely see some other candidates because we've already seen kind of precursors of this. I was at the New Hampshire Democratic State Party Convention the other day, and we saw so many candidates make the argument that you cannot choose a candidate right now in this moment just because it's the quote unquote safe option. You need to choose the person that you genuinely believe in. When it comes to Joe Biden, though, in terms of moderates and progressives, look, the Biden campaign has told us pretty bluntly that they do anticipate Biden will defend and continue to defend the Obama administration's record. And we saw some candidates hit that record, whether it was around healthcare or immigration in previous debates. So whether some folks interpret that as being too moderate or not, we'll see. But his campaign did tell us that he will do that.
NPR political correspondent Asma Khalid, thank you.
You're welcome.